The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, July 1st, 2018. Thank you to Jim and Carrie Heckenleibel for your sponsorship.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for getting up this cozy morning and coming to church. It's good to be together at Holy Trinity. I am Pastor Alicia and joined by a wonderful worship team this morning. Today we continue our worship series, Following Jesus. So we're jumping through the Gospel of Mark this morning, and we'll pick up the next story, one of the healing stories today. As we gather this morning, we gather also with those in Houston, the 30,000 youth and 10,000 adults who are gathered for their closing worship this morning down at the youth gathering. And so I want to thank you all for your support of their great trip. They're having a good time, and they'll head out later this morning to head home. So thank you for your support, and I can't wait to hear their stories, as I'm sure you can't either. But again, welcome, a special welcome to any guests or visitors that are here this morning as well. We're glad you're here. Please know later on in our service, we will be celebrating Holy Communion, and when we get to that point, you are all welcome to partake this morning. So let's join and sing our opening hymn this morning, Great is the Lord. Continue with our confession and forgiveness this morning. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin and whose mercy endures forever. Amen. I'll invite you to join me, please. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may now live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us pray together. Healing God, hear the prayers of your people who are struggling in mind, body, or spirit. Be our strong support that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated for our reading.
The first reading is from Psalm, the 30th chapter. I will extol you, Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Here ends the reading.
Please stand as you're able. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Here ends our scripture reading this morning. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story this morning that I thought of when I was reading this text this week. And it's from quite a while ago. But when I was a young child, my extended family gathered annually at my maternal grandma's house. And each year when we got together as a family, the cousins had this tradition of preparing a skit. And if I remember correctly, we always did the same skit over and over again. But we enjoyed it, and they enjoyed it, and it was this story about preparing a special meal for this special guest that was coming over. You've maybe heard this before, maybe haven't, but one of us had the role of the cashier at the grocery store. This was our favorite role. A few of us had the role of cooking and preparing the meal for the special guest. One of us had the role of cleaning the house, getting it ready. You get the picture. The skit went this way. So this family expected a very important guest for dinner. A very important guest. So the host went to the grocery store, got only the finest foods, and went through the grocery line. And as they did, the cashier said, "Oh, it looks like you're going to have a feast for dinner. I hope your evening goes well." And the person walking through said, "Well, thank you," and quickly ran out and went home. And when the host got home, the others jumped in as a family and busily prepared dinner, set the table with the finest of linens, and cleaned the house. And as preparations were underway, as you can imagine, the doorbell rang. And when the doorbell rang, at the door was a neighbor who said, "Excuse me, but I'm at home taking care of my elderly father, and I don't want to leave him to run to the grocery store. I saw you come home and unloading all these groceries, and I'm wondering if you'd be willing to share something to drink and something to eat that I could give to my father." And the host quickly responded to the neighbor at the door and said, "I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry, but we're expecting a very important guest this evening, and I can't give you what we have, or we won't have anything to serve." And the neighbor said, "Thank you for your time. I hope you have a wonderful evening with your guest," and went home. Well, as the evening pressed on, the table was set, the home was clean, the dinner aromas filled the house, and the family waited, and they waited, and they waited. And after waiting hours, their meal aromas turned from these wonderful smells to burned, dry aromas. And eventually they decided to give up and go to bed. Well, their special guest never came. Or did they? And then we always ended the skit reading the scripture from Matthew 25. "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." I'm pretty sure we picked up the skit from camp somewhere, from older youth at the time that we looked up to. I don't remember, but the truth is, I think this skit is a good picture of the reality of our human condition, our human nature. I think we can often either be too busy in our own world for someone else who might need us, or we can feel like the neighbor and feel like it might be us who actually needs help and reaches out. But often our disturbance isn't welcome, or our detour in their agenda isn't welcome. We can become infuriated, actually, by interruptions or defeated by detours, even literal detours. I mean, how many of us have ever said, just like Alice in Wonderland, that rabbit, how many of us have ever said, I'm late. I have no time to say hello or goodbye. I'm late. I don't have time for that. Or on the flip side, how many of us have ever felt, whether we said it or not, they don't have time for me, or they don't have time for us. Their other friends or other family members, or even their work is more important than a call, a visit, or even a card. Well, that might be our reality. But today's story tells us that despite our important schedules or agendas, that's just not how Jesus operates. Jesus always has time. He's not worried about being late. He never has someone or something more important than you. And I think Henry Nouwen actually said it really well, and I'm pretty sure he got it from Jesus. But he said this as a priest. He said, I used to complain about all the interruptions in my work until I realized these interruptions were my work. And our story for today is just that. So I'm going to invite you to take it out. If you can take out your Bibles, we're still on page 816. But I'm going to invite you to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And we're picking up just where we left off. So page 816, Mark chapter 5. So Jesus has just stilled the storm on the body of water. They get to the other side with the disciples. And this is when we get the healing stories. And at the beginning of chapter 5, you'll see the first thing Jesus does is heal a man with a demon. And that's the first 20 verses. But today we're going to focus on starting with verse 21. Starting with verse 21, which says, when Jesus had crossed again, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. So he healed the first man with demon possession, and then they got back on the boat and went to the other side of the lake again to heal number 2 and number 3. But as you'll see, right after verse 21, at verse 22, then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came. And when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, my daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. So right when Jesus gets to the other side of the lake, Jairus, this synagogue leader, imagine a synagogue leader, a religious leader you know, approaches him asking for him to help his daughter who's dying. But our story today came when he was on his way. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and he encounters a detour. On their way, Jesus is interrupted. As the crowd follows and presses in, one woman in particular interrupts him to be healed. And it's a woman who's been sick for 12 years. 12 years. And I want to make sure you grasp what's happening. Jairus would have been seen as a very important person. He was a synagogue leader and to a Jewish person. But on his way to heal his daughter, a woman, we don't even get her name, who's been sick and bleeding for 12 years, which means she would have been pretty isolated and avoided from most people for 12 years. Jesus could have said, like the rabbit, I'm late. I have something very important to do. I don't have time for this. Or he could have said, I have someone more important to get to. But he doesn't. The woman steps in and touches Jesus, believing she'll be healed. Jesus stops, asks who it is that touched him, commends her for her faith, heals her, and then goes on his journey to Jairus' daughter. So the small story we read today comes as a detour in the middle of his healing of the synagogue leader's daughter. And on the way, he heals this unnamed sick woman. And while we might have said, I don't have time for that, or may feel as the woman, a person who others don't have time for, Jesus, again, always has time for us. And much like Henry Nouwen, Jesus often found his work in the detours of his day. So I want you to think back in the Bible, just a couple stories, whether he was sitting down for dinner and had a woman show up to ask for forgiveness right in the middle on the floor, he had time for her. Or whether he was out praying even for his own sake, praying on his own, and then the disciples show up and interrupt him when he's praying, Jesus had time for them. Or whether Jesus was on his way to heal a synagogue leader's daughter, and a hurting, bleeding, unclean woman showed up, he had time for her. The neat thing of this story is that Jesus had time for both the synagogue leader's daughter and this unnamed woman. And if you think about what we just read, Jairus claims his daughter again and again, repeatedly begging for help for his little girl. But then this unnamed woman, who Jesus stops for, we don't know if she belongs to anyone or is claimed by anyone. And after years of likely feeling forgotten and isolated and alone and ignored, Jesus, in front of everyone, claims her as his daughter. So in our lives that are full of plans and schedules and expectations, we may not be able to see detours as a gift. That's human nature. But what I want you to hear today is that Jesus doesn't. In fact, he seems to expect them. And so I think from our story today, we can hear that we can always reach out, always. Jesus will never respond with, "It's too late in the night to bother me." He'll never respond with, "I'm too busy with somebody more important." And he'll never sigh when we knock at the door. So whether we need healing in mind or body or spirit, which we all do, know that God hears your cry and is always waiting for the interruption. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as we sing together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You can be seated. Now, as you go on your way today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
You are the peace of my troubles.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.